Rose of the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Monday.
It's Monday.
July 2nd.
Yeah, I was going to say the first Monday in June.
Nope, not June. It's July.
Oh, my goodness. I'm literally on everything. I've skipped over July. I go right from June to August. It's really bad.
And you have a lot of things where you have to enter dates in the computer.
Yeah, so this whole month might just disappear on our website. I don't know.
That might be kind of messy. We don't want to do that. Well, it is Monday, and let's see, a lot going on this week. Independence Day here in the United States.
Yesterday was Canada Day.
Yesterday. Oh, I'm so sorry for my Canadian friends that I did not celebrate that for you or observe that.
There were lots of Canadian flags on my Facebook feed yesterday. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, being from Michigan, I'm sure lots of Canadian friends.
I remember a lot of Canadian friends.
When I lived on the Canadian border and had Canadian friends.
Yeah.
We love our Canadian friends.
I do. They're such nice people.
We have some good topics today. Why is discussing politics such a sensitive issue for many Christians? Not all, but for many. Why is it a sensitive issue? And tomorrow, going to catch up with Pastor Wolf Miller after his travels. Is that right?
Yeah, he's been in Greece for a little while, so I get to talk to him.
I know, I'll be out on the road. Wednesday, we'll revisit some of our Coffee Hour top programs, and then we get to check in with one of our missionaries, and also Eric Lunsford on Thursday and Friday. The Lutheran High School, Lutheran South High School here in St. Louis football team did some great and outstanding service project with Humanitree here in St. Louis, so we get to check in with them. You get to check in with them as well.
I'll be here this week.
Thanks to our friends at Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu. So why is discussing politics such a sensitive issue? In studio, none other than Kip Allen here at KFUO, our host of World Lutheran News Digest, Free to Be Faithful, KFUO News Updates, and a number of other things. Good morning, Kip.
Good morning. I also empty the water bottles and things like that.
Empty water bottles.
Well, this is a holy vocation.
I have one on my desk that needs to be emptied.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give it to you after the show.
one of the co-hosts of Concord Matters, Pastor Sean Smith, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Campbell Hill and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Wine Hill, Illinois. Good morning, Pastor Smith.
Great to be here with you as always.
Thank you both for coming into the Coffee Hour this morning. You have your coffee. Should we go around the room, see what you all have this morning? Sarah, what's in your coffee cup this morning?
Costa Rican.
French roast.
Whatever
studio mom brewed for me.
That would be Jamaican. Okay. That is my favorite.
Thank you.
Well, and I didn't brew it. I just got it for you.
Raymond, our Lutheran Young Adult Corps volunteer, was so gracious to make some coffee for us. And I just had my water this morning.
No kombucha?
No kombucha today.
What is a Monday without kombucha?
I don't know. I don't have it every Monday.
I know.
So if you've watched the news at all in the last, 5 years, 6 years, last decade?
Or like live on Facebook at all.
Or on social media.
Yeah.
The topic of anything related to politics can sometimes conjure up some...
Anger
or sensitivities. As a matter of fact, some say that, this rule of conversation, don't discuss religion or politics when you go to a party. Why do you think, and I want to hear from each of you, why you think this is such a sensitive subject? We'll start over here, Pastor Smith.
Yeah, the government politics are given a very specific role in our world by God himself to execute justice, to maintain the common good and things like that. And so when we recognize that that is the role, whether by natural knowledge or we observe it in the truth of scripture, I think the temptation for us, as we're prone to have so many idols, is that we make it into an idol and we look for perfection there. And we cling our hopes to, if we can just get the right governmental system, we put too much hope in our government. And so then we get our own ideas, too, of what the government should be doing. And we get very forceful in that. And I think it's always that striving after the idol of hoping for perfection in somewhere that it can't be found. That doesn't mean that you don't strive for good. And so, anytime we have that kind of that much hope in something, we're going to be very passionate about it. Obviously, you see this with true believers where our hope should lie in Christ. We get very passionate about our faith, right? But when that temptation is going to a false idol like the government or something, we get very passionate and very worked up about it. And then, of course, when we have our own ideas of what they should be doing, we get very passionate about our own ideas, too. And so we, you know, struggle with having the right balance and the right tension there.
Kip, you've been writing the news for some time, but following a lot of issues, yes, in politics. Why do you think it's such a sensitive subject?
I think there are two separate issues that we have to look at here. First is, as the pastor said, people are getting really, really invested in their particular point of view. And the purpose of news, theoretically, is to present an objective point of view of what's going on, and let the people make their own decision. That's the entire concept of a democracy, or a constitutional republic in our case. But we're getting to a point now where the polarization is so great, and I think that we're really seeing a point where people don't want to hear all sides. They already know what they know. The facts be darned, you know. Second thing that I've run into, especially here at this on my programs, is I will get some comments occasionally from some listeners saying you should only be talking about the gospel. Don't do anything that doesn't inspire the gospel. And in fact, there's one specific instance I remember just recently where one listener had complained specifically about a story concerning an action that President Trump had taken, and said quite rightly that President Trump has got a lot of personal flaws. I don't think anybody denies that. Says, well, does this make you think of the gospel? Well, actually, yeah, it does. I happened to be working that week with Pastor Whedon on the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said specifically that God said that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the guy who destroyed the kingdom of Judah and took the remnants into captivity in Babylon, was his servant. And this shows us, yes, indeed, that God works through these agencies. And yeah, it does remind me of the gospel. That's my unbiased view as a Lutheran journalist.
Quite unbiased. Since Andy asked for all of our opinions, I'm going to give mine, too.
You're on social media all
even
the
though
time.
I'm holding the talking stick. Well, I guess that gives me full power right now.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, this is it's a talking hacky sack. But anyway, yeah, I mean,
it's the law. This is the, it determines who gets to talk.
Who has the hacky sack must speak next. Anyway, I mean, you mentioned I'm on social media all the time. I'm going to pull in a little millennial jargon here. I think both with politics and with religion, it's tied so much to our identity and who we feel like we are as people. So political issues along with religious beliefs, those things, I feel like it gets so heated because it's so tied to who we think we are as a person. So as a person, if I feel like, you know, this is what needs to be done because this is what I would do in the situation, then that's what I feel like should be done in politics. And because it's tied to how I feel I am as a person, then if you disagree with me on that in politics or in religion, then you're wrong and you're a mean person and I don't like you anymore. I mean, that's how I've seen a lot of it happen on Facebook too, and in social media. And in social media especially, we get so polarized in our own groups, and especially, you know, we have our friend groups, and because of Facebook algorithms and the way that your Facebook feed gets so personalized to, you know, if you start liking and sharing certain things, then they'll show up more, or you can only follow the things that you want to follow, and you can surround yourself so easily with only your own personal beliefs that you get so entrenched in what you believe. I mean, you literally can't see the other side of the other point of view at that point.
Do you also think that perhaps we have an exploded sense of personal identity because of social networking and so forth? I mean, I have people that follow me on Twitter or, right? You know, pay attention to my Facebook. And so, yeah, my ideas, my my opinions are just as important as anyone else's, as President Trump's and so forth, right? Because, you know, you're looking at my things mm-hmm. online and so forth. I don't think that that's a healthy thing, but I think it plays into it some too. And yeah. so, you know, the more we get forceful with putting that out there as if we have some sort of authority because of that, I think that that adds to the polarization of it.
Yeah, and identity is such a buzzword these days too. And I don't know if this is an American culture thing because of the individualistic nature of our culture and holding the individual above like all else, it seems like in some areas of whatever I believe is right. It doesn't matter if it's true or not, it's right. And I think that can cause serious issues when you're trying to have a logical conversation or debate with somebody that doesn't hold the same view. I mean, you just start butting heads and it doesn't go anywhere.
Well, I think part of the problem is that there's this entitlement concept where...
No, really?
Really? You know, where you pointed out, you know, well, my opinion is just as good as the president's. It brings to mind some years ago when I was managing editor at a news operation, and I was correcting one of my young reporters who had made an error in grammar.
And those are the worst kind.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Those are worthy to argue over.
And it was something very basic. I didn't recall now. It was something like subject-verb agreement.
It wasn't an Oxford comma, was it?
Tense.
Oh, you know, boy.
At any rate, they violated my code. And I corrected her and said, no, this is not correct. You need to go back and change it and make it grammatically correct. And I remember her exact words to me were, well, that's just your opinion.
Ooh.
And... The thing was,
how did
that
you
here
handle
I was,
that?
She was in her first year as a journalist, and here I was in my like 20th or 30th year as a journalist, and no, her opinion was not as good as mine on matters of grammar, over and above the fact that I was her boss. But
why should we be, as Christians, should we be ignorant of government issues and political matters?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, pardon me here. I'm speaking as a layman. And, but Luther was very, very clear on the role of the left-hand kingdom. We are to use our vocation within the left-hand kingdom, and that means interacting with government. And we can't do that unless we know what the issues are and how government is responding.
Pastor Smith?
Yeah, so I was looking through... different Luther quotes and so forth in preparation, getting my thinking in here. And I came across a quote by Luther himself where he says, I have written more splendidly and profitably of civil authority than any teacher has ever done, except perhaps St. Augustine, since the time of the apostles. So that's the founder of our church body that we, you know, follow his teachings according to Christ. And he talks a lot about this relationship between the church and the civil realm. And I think we have to understand that foundational thinking that he has, that everything in the government, the estate of the government, the realm of the government, civil authority, proceeds forth from how we are influenced in our conscience by God's word. And so certainly we look to the prophets of old, the apostles themselves, who at various times were called to speak God's word. Well, first of all, they're called to speak God's word to everyone, to all people. We have to be doing this as the church. And when that includes civil authority, especially when there's matters of intrinsic evil, we do have to speak to that. And so this is part of the prophetic work of the church to apply God's truth to form and shape consciences in God's holy ways, even for civil living. Now, I think that we do have this problem, and kind of responding to what you were saying earlier, Kip, about this idea of, you know, we think that we should be all about the gospel, and we certainly should be. I think where we have a danger there is that, you know, we can have disagreement about the right way to live in the civil realm. You know, God has certainly informed us for how we are to live in our lives, but he hasn't spelled everything out for us. And so when we think about, you know, God calls for us to care for the poor, right? You know, mm-hmm. there's a welfare system. And we're free to disagree on the best way to do that. And that's where, and perhaps maybe we'll get to this in a little bit here, you know, in kind of the two realms or two kingdoms theology that we often talk about. I think we should lay that out a little more. But in the realm of the civil realm, you know, it's not given to the church to legislate, and it's not given to the church to apply legislation and to work out in terms of using our reason, our senses, and everything else that are first article gifts to execute that. That is what God has given to the civil authorities and called them to do, and we are to pray for them and support them. We are to be the prophetic voice of the church saying, God says care about the poor, or whatever the situation may be that applies, and you know, talk about matters of intrinsic evil when things are done poorly by our civil authorities. You know, I think sometimes the temptation for the church is to get into these matters that we would call prudential judgment, where we're free to disagree on the best way of this. And that's where the gospel gets lost, I think, is when we start talking about the matters of prudential judgment, rather than this is what God says. Now use your reason that he gave you and find the way that works.
Go ahead.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue the conversation. We're talking about the issue of politics being a sensitive subject for many Christians. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. We'll be right back.